Romans chapter 7, if you're wondering, when is he going to be finished talking about Romans 7? Well, this week. Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 24. Today is the last Sunday for Macy Mills to attend Life Church Birmingham. Because next time you see her, she will be Macy, how do you pronounce it? Janczak. She's getting married, and Macy, I want you to know, your mother, we want you to know how proud we are of you. We're so grateful for your life and example, the way that you have just lived, and we're so excited that you have found the man of your that you'll spend the rest of your life with. About 2 years ago, I think, in staff meeting, we began to pray. I said, guys, I think it's time to pray. That God would send someone to my daughter. And we prayed and prayed and prayed, and there we go. And, you know, here we are. So I'm very proud of you, Macy. I don't know what I'm going to do because there's no more track meets to go to. So if y'all got any 10-year-olds that can run, I'm going to just follow them for the next 10 years. Just watch them scream and holler, cry, make a fool of myself. Macy and Zach have chosen... Not Zach, Macy and Jake. Zach's your brother. That's weird. I mean, we're in the South. We ain't that far south. I mean, there's always Mississippi. I'm just kidding. They've chose a wedding venue, and unfortunately, we just can't invite the whole church. I wish we could just say, if you ever met her in your life, you could come. That's just not the case. I apologize. Well, I don't apologize for that. I support them in their decision to choose the venue. We just... couldn't throw open the doors wide open, but we want you to know, Macy, we're proud of you and we love you. And she told me if I made her stand up, she's running out the door, never coming back. So I'm not going to make you stand up, but we will be having a push-up contest later. Romans 7. Hey, John White. You told me you'd come back. My good friend, all the way back from youth ministry days. Romans 7, conquering the spiritual tug of war. You ever felt that? Some of you are like, what? Felt what? you ever felt that? In one moment, it seems that you're in the glory clouds with the angels, and the next time you wake up and look around, you are in just turmoil of temptation, and you feel the struggle between the two. Well, you're not the only one. I would submit to you that Romans 7 tells us that that is a reality of the believer, that Paul himself experienced this. And Romans 7, verse 14 through 24 says this. And we've read it. This is the fifth time. Some of you are like, is he ever going to be done? This is it. So you better get it while you can. Here we go. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual. Soul is a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I don't do, but what I hate, I do, and if I do not do what I want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me, for I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I can't carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I don't want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but it's sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there. It's right there. It's right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work in me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Verse 25, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. My hope today is twofold. Number one, that we leave with Christian hope. And both those words are significant. We leave with Christian hope. Number two, we understand more of ourselves. And that understanding leads to greater victory, not greater defeat. So we live in this tension, according to Romans 7, between freedom from sin's dominion and the ongoing battle of sin's presence. So here's a question that is debated in the high halls of theology. Who is Paul talking about? Is Paul talking about himself before Christ? Is Paul talking about himself after he got saved? I have argued, I have preached from the perspective that Paul is not talking about himself before he got saved. That Paul is talking about himself after he got saved. After he was born again. After he was made new. And we said from the beginning, no matter which perspective you take, because there are theologians who take both, or one or the other. I say to you, no matter which one you take, it still doesn't detract from the big picture message of the book of Romans. So let's back up one more time. What is the main point of Romans? It is this: all sinful human beings have fallen short of God's glory and bring daily dishonor to God and are under the wrath of God righteously. We are deserving of that wrath. It is just for God to pour out his wrath on sinners who bring daily dishonor to him. However, he is wildly gracious and merciful. And it is therefore possible to be set right with God because of what Jesus has done in faith in him and him alone for the forgiveness of your sins. You can be set right with God. And Christ on his back takes the wrath of God, the punishment of our sins, on himself, and you enjoy favor because of faith. That's the big picture of Romans. Let me give you real quick some reasons why I think it's clear to me that Romans 7 is talking about a Christian. Number one, Paul uses the first person pronouns like a bunch. If you look at Romans 7, I think it's like 40 times. I, me, or my. Number two, he speaks about God's law as only a Christian could. Here's some phrases. The law is good. The law is spiritual. I delight in God's law. That doesn't sound like unbelieving talk. Third reason, Paul's other descriptions of himself before Christ don't look anything like Romans 7. Number four, Paul speaks about himself as only a Christian could. I know the law itself does not dwell in me. This is Christian talk. He talks like a Christian. And the fifth thing is the reality of Galatians 2, where he writes about Peter and, Barnabas, sin. These guys were saved, already baptized in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But yet Peter fell into the same fearful sinning that he did the night Jesus was betrayed. He was fearful of those who were of the way of circumcision, and he folded on a major theological truth, which is Christ and Christ alone, to the point Paul publicly rebukes Peter. Now, that's serious church discipline. So I think Romans 7 is talking about a believer. If that's true, I believe it is true, we should understand more of who we are so that we can live in greater victory, not greater defeat. And we have a lot to understand about being born again and new in Christ. And here's where I want to land today, to encourage believers who are discouraged with ongoing struggle and call us together to active, spirit-empowered warfare based upon who you are in Christ. So after four Romans 7 sermons, Paul leaves us neither in despair nor in pride-filled triumphalism. What he does, Romans 7 leaves us with reality, with reality. Galatians 5:17 says this, throw it on the screen. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit was contrary to the flesh. There it is again. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. I get nervous sometimes, I think you'll know what I mean, when someone said, well, I was just led to do that. All right, I understand. I think what that means most of the time. But the problem is, people are led to do all kinds of crazy stuff. Well, I was just, Galatians says, I'm not supposed to do just whatever I want to do. I'm just not supposed to do that. That there's a flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit. So I've got to be in tune with the spirit, otherwise my flesh just makes it up. James 3:2 says this, we all stumble in many ways. The absence of struggle is not maturity. The absence of struggle is spiritual danger. Be aware. Be alert. What's James say? Be alert. Be aware. When we let our guard down, that's when danger is lurking. Proverbs 16:18. You probably know this one. Here's what it says. Pride goes before what? Yeah. Some of you, I heard you quote fall because that's where my mind went. NIV translates destruction. So fall is destruction. Pride goes ahead of. You want a path to destruction? Be spiritually prideful. Be spiritually prideful. Oh, that sin stuff doesn't touch me anymore. I'm in the clouds with the angels. No more temptation for me. No more dealing with sin for me. I'm above all that. Well, Proverbs says, be careful. There's a hole you're about to fall into. A haughty spirit goes before a fall. Jacob wrestled with God all night. He wrestled with God. What a intriguing passage. He wrestles with God all night. After the encounter, he walks away with a limp. Experiencing God, but walking with a limp. Here's a question for you. Where is the battle the strongest right now? Where's the battle the strongest right now? Had a friend who was in my reserve unit with me. Forget his name. He was such a good friend, I forgot his name. He was another platoon. Wasn't cool like our platoon. So one thing the military does is you make fun of everybody else who's not exactly like you to get you to do more work. That's kind of how it worked. Is that right, Army guys, Marine guys? So, but this guy was sharp. He had a master's degree in Chinese culture, and U.S. Special Operations Command in Tampa had picked him up, and what he did is he did 10-year projection, war plan projections. So the conflict in 10 years is going to be this part of the globe. If that's the case, we should probably plan for that, and what all do we need, right? What all do we need? The point is this. A successful strategy plans for future attacks. If you are unaware of the spiritual dynamics around you, you're susceptible to sneak attacks. You're susceptible to common things that you could have been alerted to. So the question would be for all of us, where's the battle strongest right now? Where do we need reinforcement troops? Is it anger? Is it lust? Is it heterosexual lust or homosexual lust? Is it pride? He's talking to everybody else. I'm so glad he's finally letting them have it. Is it pride? Is it a fearful intimidation? Is it bitterness or laziness or the love of money? Where's the warfare front strongest right now? I would submit to you that the Holy Spirit in alive in the believer will alert you to the schemes of the enemy so that you can be prepared to push back and be prepared for every good work that God wants you to do. So do not interpret the battle as proof that God has left you. Interpret the battle as a call to fight. It's a call to fight. The battle's real. But the battle doesn't define who we are. The Christian life is a real battle. The second takeaway is this. As a believer, as a Christian, our truest identity is in Christ. Our true identity is in Christ. Who are you? I'm born again. Who are you? I'm in Christ. Who are you? I've been bought. I've been marked with the blood-stained cross. It has been applied to my account. My debt is paid. Sin is present, but no longer reigning. Sin is present, but no longer reigning. Back up to Romans 6. I'll just summarize it. The old man was crucified. Hallelujah to Jesus. Yet sin remains. Sin doesn't rule. I'm a slave to righteousness. Romans 6:18 says this. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. So your identity, who you are, is I'm in Christ, I'm his. He's mine, I'm his, because of him. We are freed, yes, from sin's dominion. But that doesn't necessarily mean sinless. We are not powerless. We've been set free from the dominion of sin, but the Bible tells us there's this indwelling conflict that's inside of us. We belong to Christ. Our deepest identity, listen, look at me, it's no longer our failure. It's no longer our failure. It's our union with Him. Your struggle is not your identity. Your struggle is not your identity. Well, my dad had a hot head. He's just hot tempered. He just runs my family. I guess I'll just, that's just who, you know, I just who I am. I've heard sinful tendencies blamed on everything under the sun. I can't really speak to this, but I've had people say, well, I got red hair and I'm just a little hot tempered. No, I don't know what that's like, to be honest with you. John, I don't know what that's like. I'm Irish. I don't even know what that means. I'm Irish. I don't know what that means. Or, you know how so-and-so. That's my, like, well, no, I don't know. I don't, what are you talking about? My identity is not in my struggle. That's not who I am. That's not who I am. That's not who you are. Now, I understand the complexities of addictive behavior. And you can't just cover it in like one sentence and not give a bunch of context. So I'm going to be careful here. I understand the idea that this phrase, my name's Tim and I'm an alcoholic. Now, if I go down, it's probably not going to be from alcohol. Honestly, I don't know what it tastes like. So if you ever give me one, I don't know what to do with it. However, I understand when you try to say, well, that's not my struggle, you put yourself in harm's way, okay? So where's the balance? My greatest identity is I'm a born-again believer who has struggled with addiction. Your greatest identity is not your behavior, but in the one who sets you free. And again, I know that's a quick, and I'm not dogging anything. I'm just saying, when we identify with, well, that's just, John, you know, just actually, you know, but no. Christ has set you free. Quit talking. That's earth talk. That's devil talk. Quit talking that way. Say, I love the law. Say, I hate my sin. And Jesus is my redeemer. Therefore, I'll fight it. I'll fight it. I'll fight it because of grace I can fight. You see this with trauma and anger, failure, self-pity, you fill in the blank, right? Poverty mentality, you see that, right? It's just, you know, well, no, that's not who the word says. That's what the word says. Romans never says, I am sin. Romans says, sin dwells in me. There is a difference. You are in Christ. You are a new creation. You're alive unto God. Your identity is Christ. Sin is the intruder. Quit opening the door for the intruder. Quit opening the door for the intruder. Sin's the intruder. Not allowed to come out. You're an intruder. We see in the Old Testament a man by the name of Gideon. Remember that story? Who knows? You might have heard the story before. He's hiding out, threshing wheat in a wine press. You don't thresh wheat in wine presses. Wine presses are where you walk around and squish grapes. Hopefully you got some clean feet. Y'all gonna drink that afterward. Sometimes there's a stone that rolls. When I went to Israel, from here to the edge of the parking lot, right out that door, from Peter's house where he spent 18 months, is a wine press that dates back to the date of that house. Right there. Jesus probably walked right past that. Could have seen it. Gideon is in a wine press threshing wheat. He's hiding down. He's throwing the wheat up, hoping the wind will carry the chaff. Chafe, whatever you say, how you say. The angel of the Lord says, what are you doing? Mighty man of God. He says, who are you talking to? I'm down in this hole hiding so no one sees me. Because every time they see us with something, they come and steal it from us. He said, rise up, mighty man of God. He didn't say, fearful Gideon, you of little faith, Gideon. He said, mighty man of God. Gideon, that's your identity. Quit identifying with your weaknesses. Identify with the one who empowers you. I am in Christ. I've been redeemed. I've been justified. I've been adopted. I belong to Christ. Sin is the intruder. The Holy Spirit does not merely comfort us, but he witnesses to our identity as Christians. He witnesses to that. Knowing who you are is essential. And faith, Bible faith, Romans 7 faith, Romans faith is a faith that leads to action. How do I know if I have saving faith? Saving faith leads to action. Those aren't separated. Number three, become who you are. Become who you are. Probably nobody here, but maybe you know somebody who was told at one point, act your age. Probably nobody here. Somebody else. Now, there's two times in your life you typically hear that. When you're young, and when you're old. So, update on my free time activities. I watch YouTubes. Do you know there's a whole world of watches that I knew not of? Like, it's out there, man. It is out there. Interesting question. Which is the most accurate watch? A $50 watch or a $5,000 watch? The irony is the $50 watch. Because it's quartz movement, got a battery in it. Oh, the $5,000 watch, you never have to put a battery in it. It self-winds when you move it. What happens when you don't wear it? Oh, you got to put it on a thing that winds it. But you can pass it on to your kids. It's going to work from now until eternity. The problem is it's not as accurate. So it's like, all right. So it just intrigues me. There's a guy in Switzerland. He spends a year making one watch. And you can buy one for about $350,000. So I just watch these watch YouTubes. And I know, I just don't like real TV. Like, I don't know. I don't even know why I said that. Oh, I know why. Two times in your life where you hear act your age, when you're young and when you're old. So my first daughter says, when are you going to get into gold chains, Dad? I'm like, whenever I want to. Look at my watch. It winds itself. So now look, I'm going to take a few days off in the summer. If I come back with my shirt unbuttoned, a bunch of gold chains, then you're going to say to me, act your age. Act your age, Magnum, Fabio. Two times. You hear it when you're little and when you're act your age, act your age, act your age. Or act like you belong here. Act like you're part of the deal. Act like you're a champion. Act like you're a soldier. You are. Act like it. Act like you're free. You've been set free. Act like you've been set free. Act like who you are. There's a pattern, command of responsibility. Look at the pattern over and over and over. Old, New Testament, statement of fact, command of responsibility. Here's who you are. Now act like it. Here's what's happened. Now live in that reality. Here's who you are. Now act like it. Statement of fact, command of responsibility. Reality is, you're in Christ, you're new. Live new. You're dead to sin. Consider yourself dead to sin. You're free. Don't let sin reign. You have put on Christ. Therefore, put on Christ. Grace empowers effort. Grace empowers human effort. It's not this. It's not, well, I'm just, you know, let God and let go as if I don't have anything to do. It's whatever happens. It's not try harder as if it's all up to me. It is this. The Holy Spirit empowers active obedience. I take steps of faith. Paul says, how did I even know what coveting was until I heard, don't covet? And then I realized, oh, I covet. The law touched something. I went, oh, that's me. Well, if God changed me, I guess I just don't have to fight anymore. Look, let's say today 10 of us got saved. I mean saved, not fake saved. I don't know what that is. Real saved. I mean you got saved. Like how do you know, like your name's written saved, like that, like saved, right? And oh, by the way, we're going to stick around with you for a while. We're going to pray you through. You're going to walk out of here delivered and baptized in the Holy Spirit. The whole night, we're going to do it all. We're just all doing it today, right? Who remembers the euphoria of realizing my name's written? My name's written. My name's written. I'm saved. Oh, I'm saved. If we don't tell those 10 people that euphoric feeling will subside at some point and you will have to face battles, we do them a disservice. We don't tell them the truth. So they walk away in a month or so and say, hey, what happened to all that? I guess it didn't work on me. Romans tells us there's something called indwelling sin. No, what happened is you've been set free to fight, set free to fight. And when you fall, get back up again. Surround yourself with the believers because Christ has won. W-O-N, he's won. We can resist. An unsaved person doesn't care about resisting sin. They're like, the more the merrier. Why would you care? We pray. We say, I love your law. Oh, I eat it like food. I love it. I consume it. I get it inside of me. I hate my sin. And I'm thankful for grace. We repent, we discipline ourselves, we walk in the Spirit. Grace is not opposed to effort. Grace is opposed to earning. Christ alone. David, little David, little King David, before he got the king. Well, so here's the reality. Samuel anoints him as king. He said, you're the king. Just not wearing a crown yet. So what did David do? Start acting like king. Started like an ugly king. He went back to work, right? Servant leader went back to tending sheep. Then he heard about this Goliath guy. Made him mad. What does a kid do all day tending sheep by himself? He practices. Same thing you did when you were 10. When you went to grandpa's in the country, you got your BB gun and shot cans, and hopefully not each other. Hopefully not each other. Listen, the time I shot my brother, number one, he deserved it. Number two, it was an air rifle and it was a plastic bullet. So it didn't count. But he had it coming. I mean, he had it coming. It was just a leg shot, too. Don't do that, kids. Don't do that. Don't do that, Chris. He did have it coming. What do you do all day? When a lion comes after the sheep, he just run there and grab it and tear it apart. No one told him he wasn't allowed to. A bear comes there, you just grab it and rip its throat out and stab it and kill it and brrr. You practice your shot all day. David says to Goliath, David says, God is going to give us victory, right? But what's the next thing he did? Picked up some stones. Faith is not opposed to action. Faith empowers action. David said, oh, he's going down, and he's going down with these stones that I'm going to pick up right by this riverbed, and I'm going to sling them and hit him right in his blind spot where he don't have no helmet and knock him cold. I'm going to cut his head off. He didn't say, well, God's given us a victory, and went back. He said, God's given us a victory, therefore I will become active. Faith fuels action. Faith never eliminates action. Identify the area of the active warfare. If you say there is no active warfare, I would submit one of two things of cautionary statements to you. Number one, you are prideful, or you are ignorant. It's just one or the other. Thanks, buddy. I'm out on a limb here. Some of y'all are staring at me like, I don't know if I'm coming back here, but be aware. The enemy goes around like a roaring, like seeking whom he may devour. Establish disciplines in those areas. Remove sources of temptation. Reconcile broken relationships. Renew your mind with Scripture. Pursue accountability. The Spirit supplies power, but you must pick up the stones to put them in the sling. I mean, it was a miracle. That, you got to admit, that's a pretty good shot for a 5'10 teenager. Let's give him 6 foot. Maybe he was way above that. I don't know. But this Goliath guy was pretty big. And armor was bigger than David's body. To hit him in one place of vulnerability and get him, that's a miracle. Give the Holy Spirit something to work with. You need to turn around your finances. Give the Holy Spirit something to work with. You need to turn the relationship around. Give the Holy Spirit something to work with. You need to work on this. Give the Holy Spirit something to work with. The Spirit supplies the power. We still walk. Become who you are. The final thing is this. Four, worship team, come. Here's the part where everybody dances. Our final deliverance is certain. Our final deliverance is certain. How does Romans 7, how does that end? Throw it up on the screen. It ends this way. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that's subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a wretched man. Paul says, look, sin runs deep. Sin runs deep. Really deep. It's indwelling. It doesn't have dominion. But even believers have sinful tendencies in which they must resist. The cry, right here, read it, just read it with me. Throw it back up there if you would, please. The scripture. What a wretched man. Who will rescue me? It's a future-oriented cry. Notice, who, it's not who has delivered me, but who will. Listen, there is still a coming freedom. It is certain there is a coming freedom. You've been set free. Oh, I thought you said I'm set free, but now why do I struggle? It's the ultimate truth, the ultimate reality to your life. There's coming a day in which there's no more crying, no more tears, right? No more temptation, no more sin, a once and for all, forever done deal. Health is fully restored. The original intent of our bodies is restored. Sin in its fullness is executed, demolished, no more. It's a future-oriented statement. Who will rescue me? It will happen. Answer, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. There it is. There it is right there, Sydney. Already forgiven, already justified, already redeemed, already adopted. Not yet glorified, not yet perfected, not yet completely free from indwelling sin, but yet forgiven, justified, redeemed, adopted, empowered. Why do you say this, the same thing, a different way, every week for 5 weeks? Because I want you victorious. I want you in 10 years to be victorious. I want you to know that the spiritual life is a fight. It's a battle. It's a call to warfare. The first illustration we have of that, back in the Bible, way back when, is Israel gets set free from Egypt, right? Let my people go. Moses, Charlton Heston, Ten Commandments, the whole deal. Waters part, there they go. The plagues, all that. Remember that deal? Egypt was behind them. They're free. As a matter of fact, favorably disposed. They had so much gold in their pockets, they were just like, I'll take some of that. 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 Thank you very much. I was a slave yesterday. Now my pockets are filled with gold. I'm walking out of here in freedom. In your face, in your face, in your face, in your face. All they had to do was get to the promised land. But the struggle ensues. And for 40 years, we're taught about the struggle. The wilderness was between, look, set free. You free? Oh yeah, you're free. Ultimate promised land. There's a gap in there called the wilderness. They walked through it. At one point, they even said, hey, wasn't it better back there? And Moses is like, you morons. Take off dad's shirt. Look at his back. You think that's better? Look at scars on his back. That's where he's whipped and beaten. Look at that. Look at that. You think that's better back there? No, it's not better back there. It's better over there. They were saved, but they're just trying to figure out how to be saved, how to walk in it, how to walk in the fullness. I know there's 1,000 other ramifications in there, right? So I'm not ignorant to all that. But the Christian life often feels like that. Oh, man, are you kidding me? I got a pocket full of gold, man. I got sandals last 40 years. There's a promised land. It's yours. Mine? Yeah, all you got to do is take it. All you got to do is just go take it. Okay. And there's this process in which we realize the depth of our brokenness, which reveals the power of his healing. We realize the depth of our tendencies, which reveals the power of his grace. and we realize, and we call that maturity. Ha, 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 ha. The ultimate place is milk and honey. Future glory. Unencumbered presence. No electricity is needed. I don't have to turn the lights on because his glory fills the place with light. I don't need a doctor because his glory fills every cell at the molecular level to perfect healing, perfect body, perfect mind, perfect renewed. The enemy cast into the pit. No more of that. That's where we're headed. Now walk. That's where we're headed. Now face the giant. That's where we're headed. Now get out of the winepress. Get into the battle. That's where we're headed. So what's our application? If you're weary, it's a sign there's a fight. Lift up your hands to where your help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. Keep fighting. If you're discouraged, keep trusting. There it is. Do you see it? The future promise. The future promise. If you're in the middle of failure, keep repenting. Be washed, renewed mind, cleansed, purified, redirected. If you are feeling like you're living in complete victory, keep depending on Christ. Keep depending on Christ. Stay humble. We land with this. Proverbs 27:16 says this. I want us to read it together. I'll give you a minute to just kind of glance at it. Ready? 1, 2, 3. For though the righteous fall 7 times, they rise again. One more time. 1, 2, 3. For though the righteous fall 7 times, they rise again. Let me ask you a question. How do you fall 7 times? The number 7 is used for completion a lot of times in the Bible, but don't be spiritual right now, just be like practical. How do you fall 7 times? Because you get back up. If you know that old commercial, it was horrible. Grandma, I've fallen, I can't get up. I know that. It's just, you're like, oh, grandma, save, help grandma, right? Look, guess what I cannot do right now? What can't I do right now? I can't fall. I can't fall. Why? Because I'm already down. I can't fall again because I'm hadn't gotten up yet. I can't fall again because I'm on the ground already. Do you see? Though a righteous man falls 7 times, he gets back up. So you can put whatever number you want in there. Though a righteous man falls 7 million times, he gets back up. How do you fall again? Because you get back up. Though a righteous man gets back up. He gets back up. Stand upon your feet all over this place. He gets back up. She gets back up. So you don't know what I've done. Get back up. I'll fall forward into grace. Get back up. Although a righteous person falls 7 times, they get back up. I can't fall again if I don't get back up. Do you see? Let the emphasis be on the last part of it. Getting up. Though a righteous man falls 7 times, they rise again. So the believer says this, I am free, yet still fighting. Right? I am victorious, yet vigilant. I'm new. You new? Yeah, I'm new. I am new, yet I'm being renewed. I'm delivered, yet awaiting a future glory of deliverance that can't even compare to anything like earthly deliverance. So if you're weary today, look at your weariness from a different angle. You're weary because you're fighting. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Your mind needs to be renewed. Let it be transformed. Let what this says about you be the reality. That's called faith. Speak the word over yourself. Man, you have a million tools right now. Back in the old day, right? You had to go pick up volume from the shelf and look up every time the word grace is used in the Bible. Blah, 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 blah. Every time healing is used in the Bible. You just got to, hey Siri, right? Look, right? And speak the word over yourself. I'm delivered, yet waiting full deliverance. If you're weary because there's a battle, don't stop fighting. Be renewed. And some of you just may need just a fresh indwelling touch of the Holy Spirit to empower you. The language in Acts is they were to be being filled. Is there an initial baptism? Yes. But is there more? Yes. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. You're free. Now live free. You're in Christ. Now clothe yourself. You've fallen. Back up. It's all about Him. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Father, here we are. Closing this series. And we say yes to you. We say yes to Jesus. We say yes to you, Holy Spirit. We say yes. If you're here today and you're in a struggle, just lift up your hearts to the Lord right now. Pour out your strength on us, Master. Pour it out. Put yourself in a physical posture to receive right now. Lift your hearts, lift your hands. Lord, you're where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. If you feel knocked down, put your hand on the floor and push till you get your knee. Pull your foot underneath your knee and stand according to the grace of God that's been given to you. A believer loves the law, hates their sin. Jesus, mature us. Come on, mature us, Master. Renew our minds. In this moment, the Lord is saying, I will renew your mind. Give Him your mind right now. Actively give Him your thoughts. Say that, Lord, my thoughts are yours. Say that to Him. Say it. My thoughts are yours. Yeah. Say that. Say, my tongue is yours. My words are yours. Shift my words. Heart be pleasing to you, Lord. Yeah. Get rid of faithless words, faithless thoughts. Get them out. Be done with them. Be done with them. Be done with them. Build that water dam up and keep them out. Those are intruding. They're not allowed. Come on, Holy Spirit, come now. Don't get uptight. Don't get nervous. We're just waiting on the Lord for a minute. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come. And the quietness and the peaceful power of this moment receive what God has for you. If you're in a struggle, there's power for you. There's grace for you. There's renewed thoughts for you. If you want the fullness of the work, tell him right now. I submit my mind, my body, my thoughts to you. Now, we're going to begin to sing. When we do, these altars are open. Come and receive. If you'd like prayer, prayer team is going to quickly come. They're ready to pray for you. If you just want to come and worship, come and receive. Come and receive.